Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're not running, rest and good quality sleep is so important and plays a vital role in your recovery. If you find that you're one of the many people who struggles to get a good night's sleep, then I have a podcast recommendation for you. Sleep Cove is hosted by trained hypnotherapist Christopher Fitton and has helped millions of people improve their sleep, featuring relaxing sleep hypnosis, meditations, and bedtime stories, all designed to help you de-stress and sleep well. Sleep Cove is available wherever you get your podcasts and at any time of night. Go on, give it a listen. Hello guys, and welcome back to our last episode of Wellfar this season. I'm Amy Lane, and each week we talk about the wonderful world of running to chase those runner's highs. And everyone has a reason why they run. For this special season end episode, I've managed to get one of Instagram's fittest celebs on the phone. I've known today's guest for many years, and in that time, she's not been much of a runner. But when she recently gave herself the title of runner, I was all ears, especially as her new fascination with this form of fitness is all part of finding confidence and comfort in her postpartum body, whilst also enjoying some brief moments of headspace as a new mum. In her words, she's learned not to punish herself, not to compare her journey to others, and by doing that, she's now in a good place. Let me introduce you to the lovely Millie McIntosh so we can hear how her role as mother helped her fall in love with running. Hi, Millie. Welcome to Wellfar.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe how long it's been since I've actually seen you, although I feel like I've seen you because I've been following all your new motherhood journey on so much on Instagram.
Likewise. I was trying to think back today about the first time we met.
Yeah.
And I think it was about coming up five, six years ago. And it was on your very first shoot for Women's Health. And I was just thinking about how much has changed since that time.
Wow. So much. So much. Was that the one in that amazing house which had all these, it was all white. And then inside it was really gold.
Yeah. And then the one after that, we did the paper where it was almost like you were bursting through. And there was that dog.
I love
that. Which I tried to attach a camera to do
Barry.
Behind the scenes. Yeah.
Barry Camp, but then the camera slipped around and filmed his balls all day instead.
Exactly. So it's so much has happened since then. And so what I wanted to ask you first, I think, was motherhood always part of the plan for you?
Motherhood for me, yes, it definitely was something. I've always wanted to be a mum. I've got a really close relationship with my mum. I just remember growing up, I was really obsessed with babies. I've always just, yeah, loved kids and always pictured myself having a family.
Because I think that was maybe the life change that we didn't see coming so quickly after, like, you married Hugo and then you obviously had Sienna, and it was just like you've really settled down and really settled into this new role really easily.
Thank you. I mean, it's definitely a roller coaster, and as amazing as it is also really hard and really, really tiring. And obviously combined with lockdown, that's been quite full on. But, you know, I actually feel like it's all happened at the right time for me. And I feel actually really lucky. It's a very weird thing to say, but I actually feel really lucky that I had a baby in lockdown.
Because you had so much time with her.
Because I've had so much time with her. Lots of different reasons. It's definitely, yeah, having the family time that I wouldn't have had otherwise. Hugo's been around, so I've had a lot more support. And just, yeah, have just so much time to bond with her without kind of distractions. I think being kind of stuck in one place and made to stay in one place has really showed me like what's right in front of me and what's so important, rather than these distractions and constantly being like, go, 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 in this place, that place. traveling all the time and rushing around and always on to the next thing. And actually, it's really taught me to appreciate like what I have in my life already.
That's really interesting, because I think back to one of those first years when we met and we'd meet each other, or we'd be in the same exercise class at like 6 a.m., 6:30 in the morning.
Rushing around.
Yeah, rushing to those classes and then getting changed as fast as we could. And I was rushing off to the office and you were rushing off to do shoots or other types of work. And it was a life which was really manic.
Yeah, it was always, you know, how many things can you cram into one day? And it's been a big adjustment. I think obviously even without lockdown, having starting a family, having a baby, it is a big, big adjustment. And you are in a way almost locked down. Like I don't know if you breastfed. Did I see that?
Yeah,
you
I did. Yeah.
It takes up a lot of time, right? Like the first couple of months.
Yes.
It's like you know, you don't really have time to think, to do anything else. And I know a lot of women go back to work and they're still doing it, or they're pumping at work. Just think that they're amazing for doing it, because it's really full on. Like I could barely string a sentence together. Just constantly feeding and pumping, and it was full on. So in a way I was kind of grateful to not be pulled in too many directions with too many visitors and things to do in those first few months, and just focused really on being at home with the baby and just figuring it all out.
Because being pregnant and then having Sienna was obviously quite different to all the exercise and the fast-paced stuff that you did before. How did you find it mentally to be sat on a sofa and feeding? Because I know that I struggled a lot in the beginning, and I kept thinking that, right, next week I'm going to get myself into a routine, and I post on Instagram and be like, I'm going to do this next week. And then that week would come, and like you've just said, there was just no time. Like I was just there, yeah, breastfeeding, and there wasn't time for anything else. Did you find that tough?
I did find it tough. I found breastfeeding and exercise quite difficult, because also my milk would really be affected when I exercised. Mm. So I'd have to dump after I exercised. It would almost like change colour and go quite watery. I don't know if you ever found that, but I found that quite annoying, because I was having to kind of have extra milk from the freezer for that feed. And I just felt very tired when I was breastfeeding as well, and very hungry and very tired. And I really just felt like a lot of my energy was going into making the milk. So I just was really gentle on myself and just, you know, really realized that my body was doing this incredible thing. Not only have I just given birth, grown a baby and given birth, but now it's like producing the food for your baby. It's amazing what our bodies can do. So if I ever started to be frustrated that I wasn't doing more physical exercise, I just had to kind of remind myself of the amazing job that my body was doing, and not feel bad about watching Selling Sunset on my laptop in bed and having a rest, because I felt like I needed it rather than trying to get a certain amount of steps in that day.
And how long was it before you went back to exercise? Do you remember?
I started doing gentle bits at home from about 8 weeks postpartum, after I'd seen my obstetrician. But I also saw a women's health physio to just check everything, do an internal exam, and luckily everything was good. So she just really said, just like, do your pelvic floor exercises. I had a C-section, but you've still carried the weight of the baby, and it still really affects your pelvic floor as well. So yeah, I just started really just doing kind of Pilates, basic stuff, stretches. My body felt very tight and very stiff, and I'd lost a lot of kind of flexibility, and I just... exercising early on, it felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it took my body quite a while to get back into even doing those quite basic moves like squats and lunges and anything like that, which when I was pregnant I had really bad pelvic pain. So anything that involved like my legs going in different directions was really painful. It took me a while for things to loosen up. Even like walking was quite uncomfortable for a while. So I definitely feel like I eased into exercise really slowly, and just had to listen to my body. Because like even early on, I don't know how long it was for you, but it took me about a week to leave the house after I had come home from the hospital to go for that dreaded first walk. And I think I went a little bit too far, and I really didn't go far, but the doctor said, you know, only go to like the end of the road and back. And I was like, no, I just want to get some air. I want to go a bit further. And it was quite painful. And then I did end up bleeding a lot afterwards and being like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. After a C-section, I definitely felt like walking, like I had to kind of retrain my core and everything, how to walk. And holding onto the pram, I felt like helped, because I had like something to kind of support me a little bit. And I would wear a support band as well, which helped me. How did you find it after the birth?
So I was in hospital for the first week after having Huxley because he had to stay in. And I've never been so uncomfortable in my life.
Did you have a C-section?
No, I had a vaginal birth, but I had forceps. So when I say I walked like John Wayne, I'm not even joking. Oh, it was horrendous. Ooh. But then, so I kind of did quite a lot of recovery in hospital. And then I came out and I thought I was superwoman because I suddenly felt fine. I was running up and down the stairs in my house. And then it was about after maybe about a week of thinking I could do everything, I then suddenly realized that actually my body has been through so much. And it just suddenly went, I'm sore, I'm tired. And it took me then a while to kind of build up my pram walk. So I was then really careful. Yeah. I went out, like you just said that you did, you know, that walk and then you bled lots and you learned. I learned from that week in my house and I was like, right, do 10 minutes. And then I gradually built it up to about an hour.
Same. So then I would do like 20 minutes and then, slowly, slowly build up.
So then through that, how did you become a runner? Because I know running hasn't always been your thing. You were so into your classes. I've never really seen you out too much pounding the pavements or, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I've never been into running before. And it's something I've always just felt like I didn't identify with it. Like I just really strongly felt like it's not for me. I'm not good at it. I'm not built for it. And I guess I just got my cardio fix before from doing spin classes because I could easily go to one or two a week. It's actually not something I did while I was pregnant. I tried doing it and it just didn't feel right. So I just didn't do it again. I thought I'd do it all the way through my pregnancy. And I found it like too hectic. I felt when I was pregnant, like hyper aware of my surroundings. And it just felt like the wrong environment to be in. I mean, it's all down to lockdown, really, because of like not being, you know, we've been in these various lockdowns in the last year and I haven't been able to go to classes, but I've wanted to stay active and I've wanted to build back my fitness levels again, my cardio fitness, which is like generally my overall training. And there's only so much you can do at home.
Do you still crave that kind of endorphin rush, sweaty feeling?
Yeah, it's not like that drenched in sweat, like I'm dying feeling that. I've definitely not been craving that. It's just that light sweat, like, you know, you've got your heart going, your circulation going, it's just that endorphin rush. You feel good mentally, and you just feel like you've done something good for your body, and it's such a nice start to your day. I'm trying to think what made my sister loves running, and I'm trying to think why, like, when I kind of started doing it and actually started being like, I think I'm going to do this regularly. I'd say it was like the start of this year. I actually also would go on a couple of runs with a neighbour, which kind of helped me as well start going, because it was just having that other person to like hold you accountable if you were going to cancel, and they'd be like, come on, we're doing it. That really helped. And then I really like the Nike running app because I like having someone in my ear. I like having someone saying how far I've gone, how much further I've got to go. And I literally normally just do 5K, and I've done a 6 and maybe it's almost a 7, but my comfortable run is a 5K. And I've actually really started to love it now that I've been doing it for a couple of months. But one thing I find quite frustrating is if I miss it and I don't do it for a week or two, I really feel like I've got worse and I have to like build back up. Is that like a normal thing?
Yeah, I think it's the same with everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any type of kind of intense cardio, if you have a couple of weeks off, that first run back always feels tough. But then by the second run, you're absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Do you find that you're easy on yourself when you go out on a run, or do you find that you're quite mentally tough? Like, do you G yourself up and say, Millie, you're doing really well, like your own cheerleader? Or in those times when you have found it really tough, are you the type of person that talks to yourself and you're like, try harder? Or if you have to stop, like, why are you stopping?
I think I'm quite hard on myself.
Are you?
I set myself like little goals while I'm doing it. I run to a local park and then I do 2 laps and go back. And then that is exactly 5K. So if I did 3 laps, it'd be exactly like 6K. So that works quite well because I know the route and run really well. So then I'll just be like, okay, you've got to that point. I just won't be long till you're kind of doing that loop again. And then you can start running home. And I kind of mentally talk to myself to get myself to keep going. I recently have, I've been struggling, actually wanted to ask you about this a bit, with getting a stitch while I run. And so I used to be able to run it off, but I've had a couple recently that have literally meant I've had to like walk home, and it's been really annoying because I've wanted to get my run done, and then I've ended up just like kind of doing half a run and a bit of a walk, which is better than nothing. What, do you have any tips?
The dreaded stitch.
Like, the things that have bothered me have been calf pain after, which I know I really just need to foam roll.
And strengthen.
Okay.
Yeah. Calf raises.
No, okay. I need to do that. I need to do homework.
So that's what I was going to ask you about, actually. So, like, what are the things which you do in your week, which you do because you know you have to do, but you're not that into for your exercise? So for me, I know that if I don't do a really good warm-up before running, I really pay for it afterwards. And also I really struggle in those kind of that first 10 minutes of a run. And so I force myself to do it. Is there anything which you have to force yourself to do?
Well, one thing that I've kind of worked on for the last few months is I have a trainer, then we just do like sessions over like Zoom or FaceTime, and she like, you know, makes a program and then like makes sure I'm like following it. And it's strength work. It's like, you know, it's, I have some weights at home, and I know that it's so good for me, and it's something I need to like constantly work on, like strengthening. But it's just, for me, it's like doing a lot of leg work, and I find it like I really have to grit my teeth and like get through it. I find it like stuff like lunges, squats, like just lunges are my worst, and I just find them like really uncomfortable, especially like, or like a split squat, like, oh, horrible. But I know that I always try to do a good warm-up and a stretch as well, otherwise, like you said, it's so essential. The other day I stupidly did a 6k run and came back in feeling great, got caught up in Siena and breakfast and whatever else, and like completely forgot to stretch, just forgot, and I thought I'd got away with it. Next day, I was like, stretch. I was like, I feel fine. I must be such a pro that I don't even need to stretch. And then it was like that evening, it just like hit me, and I was like, oh, hobbling. And then I actually couldn't run for about a week because it was so sore.
Oh, bless you. So,
note to self, always stretch. But I think that maybe I don't do a proper warm up because my warm up's normally just a very gentle jog. Does that really count or not really?
So I would say if you did some activations beforehand, you'd really notice that it
would, like a band or something.
Yeah, that would improve your running. Because do you find, so one of the things which I find really helps with my warm-up is it really helps me get into the moment of my exercise. So there's so much going on around me at the moment that I find that I rush from one thing to the next. And it's actually quite hard to be present. So I find that actually by doing a warm-up, I stop thinking about Huxley. I stop thinking about what's going on in my house and all the things that I have to do. It makes me go, right, I'm about to work out. And then I really connect with what's going on. Do you struggle with like getting ready for a workout and having Sienna there and just having so much going on in your house?
Yeah, that honestly is why, like, when I go out for a run and like shut the door behind me, I think I'm almost like excited to go for the run. Like, I'm like, cool, like, I just want to go. Like, it's just nice to shut the door and, you know, headphones in, off you go, and just have that time just to connect with yourself. And just, yeah, it's been so good for my mental health, definitely.
Because it's such an adjustment, isn't it, becoming a mum, this always on mentality, but in just a completely different way than what we're used to, I think.
It's so full on. I think the most full on part of it is that it's just relentless, like it doesn't stop. And, you know, you go through so many different phases and you feel like you're just mastering it and you're really getting into whatever it is, the routine or whatever phase you're going through. And then it changes all over again. And you just felt like you were handling it at that. That like just doesn't stop though, apparently. So it's just like strap in and like, you're just, you know, along for the ride. Yeah. Hugo was joking that he feels like our house doesn't belong to us. He's like, it's Sienna's home and she lets us live here so we can look after her.
We sometimes refer to our son as the mini dictator.
Yeah, I fully get that. How old is he now? He's so gorgeous.
He's 7 months. So he's, I think he's 3 months behind Sienna. Is she about 10 months?
Yeah, she's like 10 and a half months. Oh, so, okay, so 7 months, is that like sitting up?
And... No, do you know what's really embarrassing? He's 6 months.
It's not embarrassing. Baby brain is an official thing. It's an actual thing. Honestly, I tried to put my coffee in the freezer the other day rather than the microwave to heat it up. So it's okay.
Oh, gosh.
It's baby brain.
So how have you managed, Millie, in the past 10 and a half months to carve out time for yourself to be able to get out the house to run and to sit down and meditate? Because I think you're still meditating. I think I've seen your meditation streak still.
My meditation is only in bed before I go to sleep. So it's really not happening in the way it should. And I actually really want to start rebuilding it in by getting out of bed at 6 a.m. to do it before I get Sienna up. And that is actually manageable because now it's getting like lighter. I keep waking up really, really early anyway. And I just lie in bed thinking about my day anyway. So I need to just start getting up and going and like finding a place to do it. So I'm going to start building it back in. I listen to a Calm, like on the Calm app, sleep meditation. Actually, Hugo started listening to it now as well. We'll be like watching TV and he'll be like, "You're going to bed soon?" I'll be like, "Yeah." And he'll be like, "You're going to listen to the sleepy meditation thing?" And I'm like, "Yeah." It's like, "Okay, what time? I'm coming." We both lie there and fall asleep to it. It's like, it's so nice. You go into a really good sleep. It's like a body scan. And she just has such a calm voice. And I'm normally asleep by the end of it. And that's normally at like 9 p.m.
Oh, I hear you. I'm all about the 9 p.m. bedtime.
It's necessary. Like 10 p.m. honestly, if it feels like a really late night, I feel like a bit of a loser. But, you know, you've had a long day and you've got to do it all over again. But carving time out for myself, I mean, I've been really lucky that Hugo has been on furlough almost for a year. So having him around has really, really helped. And I do use her nap times as well, because when she's awake, I do find it like more distracting, and she really wants mummy at the moment and she wants to come and watch what I'm doing, and it is distracting. So I often work out in the morning when she's gone down for her first nap, which is at like 9.
And you have it almost like as a non-negotiable in your day. Are you like, right, the three things that need to happen today are X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, so I plan out like my weeks or the days that I'm going to work and shoot content and do stuff like that. I have to slot different things in my diary. And then but my workouts, I normally try to commit to doing like 3 strength training a week and then running kind of like twice a week. And then I do try and walk every day. But it doesn't always happen. I'd love to say I do my 10,000 steps every day, but it doesn't always happen. But if I've done some kind of exercise that day, then that's ideal.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And did you feel a pressure to return back to being fit wellness Millie, which we kind of knew and loved? Or did you want to get back to, you know, being in your gym kit a lot and having that time in your week?
I think, you know what, I just feel really good when I exercise, and it's something that I've made part of my life over the last 10 years. And I just know that I function and feel my best when I have a really good balance of exercise and rest days, but exercise kind of ideally 4 or 5 times a week, and then like at least 2 good rest days. I know that's how I feel my best. So I have wanted to work back to being able to handle that. And I'm honestly so excited to start going back to classes as well. I like cannot wait. So, you know, just be able to mix it up and have that kind of fun atmosphere. But yeah, I'd say for me, it's definitely a balance of wanting to do it because it makes me feel good mentally. It makes me feel strong physically. And yeah, there is a part of me also that has wanted to fit back into my clothes. And I'm not, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting that. I really was very relaxed about what I was eating when I was pregnant, and I really enjoyed my food, and Sienna was perfectly healthy, and looking back, like, I really wouldn't change anything. But it has taken me kind of almost a year to, like, get back into my pre-pregnancy clothes. But I've also been okay with that, and I've really taken my time and not, like, done any drastic crash diets or anything unhealthy as a kind of punishment to my body. But I just think everyone's journey is so different, and I've just really tried not to compare myself to other women, because our bodies are just all so different, and it is hard sometimes when some people do seem to just be straight back in their free baby jeans after 6 weeks. But everyone has got their own genetic makeup and reasons why their body is, like, able to do that or isn't able to do that. And I've kind of not punished myself and tried not to, like, beat myself up about it. And also just, I've just been feel so appreciative of my body as well after seeing what it can do. And I just really have wanted to also exercise so I can feel good and be the best mother to Sienna. It's like you suddenly also have this other reason to want to be, like, fit and active and able to pick them up off the floor and run around after them. And it's starting to get more physically demanding now that she's kind of 10 kg and constantly on the move, trying to stand up. She's so fast at crawling, and I think she's going to be walking soon. So that's going to be, yeah, even more demanding.
And do you feel that now you've got this precious life in front of you that you're shaping, that it's important to have this good relationship with, like, exercise and food for her? Like, has that come into your thought processes yet?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, she sees me when I'm exercising at home. She really is so interested to see what I'm doing. And you can see that she'll start kind of trying to copy me soon. It's really, really cute. And I think it's really healthy for her to see me exercising as part of my day. And, like, it's, like, part of my lifestyle. And, like, Hugo works out at home as well. So I think it's very healthy for her to see that her parents are active, to teach her about body positivity and body confidence, and bring her up loving food like I do, and cooking and sharing that as well as a family experience.
How have you found that running has affected your mental health? Have you found that, like, you've got that runner's high? Have you found that it clears your head? Have you found that it's done nothing at all?
Definitely. No, definitely. I haven't come back from a run and felt worse. You know, if anything, it's been a physical thing, like, where I've...
Brilliant.
And even, you know, so I was like, I'd never run in the rain. And I have done a few runs in the rain. And it is something nice. It's not my favourite. I obviously prefer if it's sunny. But there's something nice about it. It's actually quite, like, liberating and freeing, and just not caring. Just, I'm getting wet. So what? Like, I'm running. It feels really refreshing. And, you know, I just really enjoy hearing the birds, and I really like going, especially on, like, a weekend when it's like 8 a.m. maybe, it's, and in London it's quite quiet, the park's pretty much empty, you hardly see a soul. I really like that. I think it gets lighter earlier, starting to run before Sienna wakes up and running at like 6 a.m.
And do you feel safe running in London? Because we're recording this podcast in, you know, sadly after Sarah's murder. And so the safety of women when out by ourselves is such a big topic, and also something which I think so many of us are now speaking about.
Yeah.
So do you feel safe going out running in London by yourself?
I do feel safe. I probably wouldn't. There's certain streets I wouldn't want to run down in the dark on my own. I wouldn't want to run in the park after dark. And I guess when it was in the winter, I would wait actually till it was, like, kind of at least semi-light before I would go out. But there's often other people around, and, you know, I live in a close to, like, a busy area. And how did you find it when you lived in London?
So I started using the Strava beacon a couple of years ago, which is a thing on Strava. When you go off on a run, you can set it to alert somebody.
That's good.
And so they can track you where you are. And so my husband always had that, although sometimes he'd decline the beacon invitation, which wasn't always the best.
Thanks.
I'm like, oh, thanks, Ted. So I use that. And then now I have actually got a panic alarm, because we live by some fields, and I used to feel quite safe over there in the fields. And then when I got heavily pregnant and I started going around those fields, I just didn't feel that safe by myself. And maybe it was because it was like a protection thing with my baby, or maybe it's because I was running so slowly. And so I did get like a small panic alarm while my mum bought it for me. And now I have that on me at all times and I actually feel much safer.
And is it like, how do you wear it?
So I tuck it in the top of my bra, and then all you do is you pull the little cord out. It's like a cord pin, and it sets off an alarm.
That's a really good idea, actually. That I think I'll get one as well, just so you just, it's just for peace of mind, isn't it?
You must spend a lot of time cooking from what I see on the old gram. You make cakes, you make lovely dinners,
I think we're all quite bored of our own cooking.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think no matter how much any of us are like into cooking, I have got quite bored of it. Some days I literally feel like I haven't left the kitchen. I don't know about you, but now we're doing weaning as well, and it's preparing Sienna's food, feeding her, cleaning it up, and then you've got to do it for yourself or like your partner as well. It's non-stop. Some days I'm literally like, I'm just sick of seeing my kitchen, and I love my kitchen, but I get really sick of it. How's it been for you?
So I'm quite bored of ordering the same food on Ocado and cooking the same things. But then at the same time, I'm struggling. You've obviously found this motivation to cook new recipes, whereas I'm just at the point where I'm so bored of it that I actually can't seem to find more energy to put into it to make it more interesting. So we just seem to be eating the same thing. So I've actually started doing a recipe box. We're starting this week.
No, we do that too. It's such a good thing to do in lockdown.
Yeah. So, and I want to get back into really enjoying my healthy food again, and then, you know, having enough time to then go out and run and those type of things. Because otherwise I find that when I become unmotivated, it actually just then goes into all areas of my life. Yes. And I end up not really doing too much with my day. So for me, if I can get up, if I run, if I come back, and if I have healthy food there, it just helps me make better choices throughout the whole day.
I agree. I do think actually I really started doing this at the beginning of the year. I actually really cut sugar out of my diet and just decided, I wanted to just make a few healthier choices. And having just really healthy food in the house, it is actually a lot easier to eat in a more healthy way than if you're going out to restaurants a couple of times a week, because there's like all these other choices.
Yeah. Can we talk about your morning routine? So I asked people what they'd love to know about Millie, and I had a lot of messages asking, A, how you're fitting it all in around Sienna. And I think when people say fitting it all in, it's the cooking, it's the exercising, it's the mothering. And B, it was your morning routine. And what do you do to make the time in your day so you can do an AM workout?
So my morning starts with Sienna is my alarm clock. A few people have asked me, what time do you set your alarm? I'm like, sorry, which new parents have an alarm? Like, what is an alarm? I can't remember the last time I used an alarm to wake up. But no, in saying that, Sienna doesn't normally wake me up crying or anything. Sienna's been going through a phase of like crying at like 5, but I don't need to like go in. She just cries for literally a couple of seconds, and then she often chats to herself for a bit, and then she goes back to sleep until 7. So I try to go back to sleep as well, but sometimes it's just not possible, and I just like lie there tossing and turning, which has really been making me feel quite overtired recently. But I try not to actually get up till about 6:30. I go downstairs and kind of get prepared for my day. So have a shot of Simproof, and then I will prepare Sienna's breakfast. She normally has like a porridge, kind of maybe sometimes I sit and do a couple of emails and go through a few to-do lists and just get organized. If I've got content going up that morning, whatever, I just kind of maybe do like 10-15 minutes of that. Then I go and get Sienna up, get her dressed, bring her downstairs, play with her, give her breakfast, have a smoothie, like maybe a protein shake. Depends. If I'm going to go for a run, I might just have a coffee. If I am going to do like any strength, just I have a shake just with some protein and some oats, maybe a little bit of nut butter and some ice, a bit of almond milk. So I blend that, have that, then give her a bottle and play with her a bit more, put her down to sleep, maybe about 9:15, and then exercise at 9 while she's asleep. But I don't know what I'm going to do when she starts not having a morning nap. So, yeah, otherwise me and Hugo, like, take turns and say, okay, like, what are you doing today? What time? Okay, can I work out then? And we'll schedule it in with each other a few days before. So we do that. And on the weekend, one of us has a lie-in one morning and then we, like, take it in turns. And then the other one, like, gets up with her. But it's a juggling act for sure.
I love how organised you are.
Yeah, you have to be really organised. And Sienna's also in a really... I don't want to say strict because it sounds like the wrong word, but like she's in a very structured routine. Definitely, I'm kind of like a routine loving person, and having her in a routine is something that has suited us. And I really think you see such a difference in her behavior and mood when she's had her naps and, you know, eaten at the times that she knows, and she sleeps through the night when she follows the routine. So, but it, you know, it doesn't always like all happen and slot into place. And we have had some help from parents as well, obviously with support bubbles, which I feel very lucky that we've been able to have as well. But what about you? How do you manage it?
Well, so I've had some very good weeks and some not so good weeks, and it does all depend on how well Huxley's napping.
Yeah, if the naps don't happen, your day is just a nightmare.
Yeah, and I very much went for a routine like you, so that I had felt like I had more time in my day for me, or I knew when there was going to be time in my day for me, because I think I didn't really do that in the early weeks. And I'm not saying like at 1 or 2 weeks I could have put him in a routine, but I didn't start until he was a couple of months old.
Same.
And I was just feeling quite overwhelmed by the constant feeding and the not knowing when he was going to nap and those type of things. And so I almost organised his day like Sienna's. So since then, I found that I have had more time for myself and also more headspace for myself. And so I find that normally I will wake up, and if I'm going to do some exercise, I'm lucky my husband doesn't start until kind of 9 or 10, where he's not commuting at the moment. He's commuting downstairs to our office. I literally feed Huxley, hand him over, and then I have an hour to work out, get showered, get myself together and take the baby back again. And so on those days, it works out really well. If that isn't happening and I have to work out when Huxley's in a nap, then I only get like 20 minutes to work out because his naps are so short.
Oh, that's really tough. Is he at that stage where will he have 20 minutes and then wake up and then have another 20 minutes?
Well, so sometimes he rolls things together, and actually, touch wood, he's going to stay doing what he's doing. And so he has been doing more like he naps for about half an hour, then he wakes up for 10 minutes, and then he puts himself back to sleep for 40 in nap one. When he does that, I've got loads of time.
Yeah, they start knitting together. Trust me, when Sienna had her first 2-hour morning nap, I literally didn't know what to do with myself. Because when they're tiny, like, I don't know with you, but Sienna slept, they sleep all the time when they're tiny. And then suddenly I was like, where are these naps like going? They're just like not happening. And then it was when she was about 4 months, we got her into a proper routine. We did sleep training, and it was just, it's so different. Exactly like what you said, it's having that headspace and that time for yourself. And you're right, until you have a routine, you really just don't have that at all. And it's really draining, and it's really difficult to do anything healthy for yourself, like have the time to exercise, just any time just to do anything for you, and then mix that in with trying to work from home as well. And yeah, it's really hard. And I've been working from home since Sienna was less than 2 months old.
So did you take any kind of maternity?
I took some time before she was born, I'd say the last kind of 2 months, and then at least the first month after she was born, I didn't do anything. And then I slowly started doing little bits and bobs, just being able to, you know, work from home. And I've slowly worked up to a point which I feel comfortable with. And I definitely feel like I'm kind of, you know, balancing like being a mum first and foremost with like working part time from home. I can have quieter weeks, and then suddenly like it gets quite busy and then it goes quieter again, and it's not always consistently the same.
And so looking forward to the rest of this year, and hopefully we are going to come out of lockdown, do you have any big goals for 2021, either personal or professional, or a running goal?
Well, actually, a running goal I wanted to talk to you about was...
Oh, hit me.
I really want to work up to 10K. So what would your tips be from where I am now?
So are you running on a plan, or are you just going out and running the same kind of route every week?
To say I just do the same kind of route, either 5K or 6K.
What you probably need to do is just progress that a little bit further each time you go out, but only be doing that once a week. And then did you say you're running 3 times a week?
I was running 3 times a week. It's probably more like 2 at the moment. Yeah, it depends a bit on the weather. I have to say I'm not so great at going in the rain.
So you could do one session where you progress your distance by 10% each week, and you could do another one which you turn more into a speed session.
Okay.
Have you done any speed work before?
I tried to do my first tempo run recently and I was, it's really hard. It's like, okay, but I don't have anything to compare it to because I'm such a beginner.
Only compare it to yourself. So what you want to do is go out and run your normal route tomorrow. I'm going to message you and see whether you do it. So go out and run your normal route. Don't look at a clock or anything. Get Hugo to start a timer when you leave the house and get him to stop it when you come back in the house. You've got no idea how you're pacing. Just run at your normal pace.
Okay.
And then do that again in a month, once you've done some speed work, and see whether you can try and progress your distance a bit and see how fast you've improved. That's my challenge for you.
Okay, thank you. I feel like I need a challenge. I need something to focus on, to build towards. I'd really like to get to a point with running where I can do like a 10K run like every week. That I think that's like a good goal. I know it's so personal, but what's your kind of like, what's your favorite running distance when you go for a run? Is yours distance based? What's your favorite personally that you love to do?
So pre-pregnancy and having a baby, my favorite distance, which I would just go out and run most weeks, it was around kind of like 8K. I like running for like 45 minutes. I find that you can get yourself into a really good headspace when you go out and you run for that amount of time. And it meant that I used to run in London before I moved out, and you could just run to a really nice park, do a big lap and get home. And for me, that felt really manageable. If I was going to do a race, my favourite distance is probably a 10K when I've got a good fitness level, because I like going fast. And I think at a 10K, it's that perfect blend of endurance and speed.
Yeah.
I've run a few marathons and I don't think I've got another one in me.
I can't imagine just running for that long. Like, it just must be so uncomfortable. I think it's amazing. The mental strength to do it must be, I mean, I just don't think I've got it in me at all.
I'm going to finish this podcast by asking you, what's your reason for running?
Ooh, what is your reason for running? I would just honestly say it feels like it's one of the things that I do for myself, and it makes me feel good. I'd say just as much mentally as physically. So it's just definitely part of my kind of wellness overall. Like, it's been really important for me, and it's something that I've taken from lockdown that's pushed me to do it. I didn't enjoy it at first, felt a bit like a chore, and then I actually started really enjoying it, and I think I'm definitely going to keep doing it even when I start going back to classes. So I'm really glad that I've discovered a love for it.
Brilliant.
And you can do it anywhere, and you know, I love that, like, no matter, like, if you are, when things do open up again, and if you are traveling, like, you can do it anywhere. And it's such a good way to actually go out and be in nature as well, which I really love.
Maybe what we'll do is I'll come to your house, drop Huxley off. Hugo can have both of them. We'll run to wine.
That is such a good idea. I'm so up for that.
Oh, Millie, it's been so nice chatting to you.
I could just chat to you. There's so many more mummy things that I want to chat to you about. There's so many. And honestly, you really feel like you're like nailing being a mummy.
Oh, back at you. Thank you so much.
You too, darling. Thank you so much.
And that brings this season to a close. Thank you so much for your support and subscribing to the podcast. This season really has been.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One of my favorite.
not least because so many of you got involved in the Welfare Strava Club and also supported each other from afar on Instagram using the hashtag Welfare. As I mentioned in an earlier update, I'm now taking an extended break to work on my fitness, both mental and physical, whilst also getting used to my biggest role yet as mum. Enjoy the spring and summer, and if Parkrun opens up and you see me there, do come and say hi. Until then though, keep going Welfare.